Blog Talk okay. Radio.
Ready?
Everybody, you there?
No, I'm here.
Hi, this is me, Jonathan Alexander, and here goes my show, Life After Happiness. Today is someone that I've been trying to think about the right way to start, because I mean, I do find it very fascinating. I was one of the things that I found fascinating is that you're Jacqueline Stallone, and you are the mother of Sylvester Stallone, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And what I found fascinating was I saw an interview with Sylvester Stallone, and I know that, you know, I was reading, and I have your book, Star Power. I read it, and you know, all the way through. And I did read the part where you said, well, whatever an interviewer asks me about Sylvester Stallone, what am I going to say? You know, so I knew, you know, how I was going to approach that, because I thought I was going to, you know, bring him up. I know what you're going to say. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, it's the story of him is amazing. What I found amazing is when he got the story for Rocky, you know, it looked like from a business standpoint, if you weren't psychic, that it would be like a really silly thing to do. I mean, turning down all that money, you know, to not be in the movie, you know?
Right.
And you predicted to the day that he was going to sell the script. Is that right?
Correct. Well, if he didn't, he only got $200. He'd never get a shot at acting again. Never. Then he'd be basically writing Rocky, Rocky, Rocky for somebody else to take that chance. And I said, look, he only had $200, but I said, we can make the rent. The rent was only about $100 a month. He had a furnished room. So take a chance.
Okay. Now, I was letting you know my co-host is here. I'm going to introduce you to her, if that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is, I think this is her. Linda, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi. This is Linda. This is a Cancerian. She wanted to come on too, because after I told her about the whole idea of you predicting Rocky to the day, that was just amazing, considering the fact that it was verified by Stallone and not you. I mean, you know, if it had been verified by you, people would say, oh, she made that up. But
oh, no. He's a Cancerian. No, I predicted this when he was 18 years old. He wanted to know what his future was. I said you'd be a famous writer. He just flunked writing and English and spelling and everything in school. He said, what are you, nuts or something? I'm going to be a writer. I just got F in everything and flunked out of high school, and I've got to start all over again. You're telling me you're going to be a writer? I said, well, no, your star said you're going to be a writer. And he really is a better writer than an actor. Don't forget, everything sort of geared around his physique and the way he looks and all. He doesn't do a lot of heavy acting. He does a lot of jumping around. And the story, the plots are very good. He writes everything he does. So he is a writer and a painter.
Yeah. I mean, it just was amazing to me. It was just like, you know, the idea that someone who, like, it made me wonder, like, you know, because he has done some things in his career that I thought I couldn't understand why he would do. Like, when he did Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most recent one, I got to think, gee, I wonder what his mom thought of that. I wonder what his mom thought about Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Because well, that was my life, more or less.
What do you mean, what was your life?
Dog. Well, the dog was my dog. And basically, he was always calling me up or I was calling him up on the phone. These were for the good old days. You know, you don't get the call every hour now. But then, and then he bought me that dog for Christmas. Actually, he swiped it from a pet shop. He didn't have the money to pay $700 for a dog. So he asked me what I wanted for Christmas. So I said I'd give anything to have a little dog like that. So that was the time when they're playing this great song, I Must Have a Doggy in the Window. So he walked back and forth. It was snowing. And the Fifth Avenue pet shop was featuring this dog, and he stole it. But later on, two years later, he went back and paid for it. They didn't want the money. They just wanted a picture with him.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I mean,
it is.
Linda, do you have anything more to ask her?
Correct. What a great story. Yes, what was your, Ms. DeLong, what was your first instinct or impression of your son's future life or career? Like, at what age, you know, when you was a young boy, did you have a sense or an impression?
Yeah, and when he was a young kid, he was thrown out of 17 schools. I was in the principal's office once a week, begging for another week. But eventually, he can only go so far. So he was always stealing from all the department stores. So what was my impression? I figured he was going to land up in jail. But I figured no matter what jail, he'd escape. What else could I possibly think? He was a straight F student in school, 17 schools. And finally, I put him in a special school. It was graduation, and he said, well, all the kids are talking about college. Where am I going? I thought, yeah, where are you going? Then it's, I thought, where are you going? So I don't know what, something came out of my head. I said, why, you're going to Switzerland. He said, Switzerland? Are you kidding me? I said, oh, no, I made arrangements. So then when I hung up, I thought, what the hell am I talking about, Switzerland? I'm in Philadelphia, Switzerland.
Yeah.
Called the Swiss Embassy and checked on the two best schools in Switzerland. Of course, you had to be straight A student and speak fluent French, and he was a straight F student and couldn't speak one word of French. So I thought, I promised him I don't know what to do. So I got on a plane. I really didn't have the money for that. I was an astrologer, but not for this kind of stuff. So I went to the college, American College in Switzerland. I happened to meet the president of the school, and he said, oh, your son could, we'd like to have, but for heaven's sakes. I mean, he has a psychological problem. He's got straight F's, can't speak French. What am I going to do with him? So I read the horoscope of President Arnold in the American College of Switzerland. I read his palms. I did his horoscope. I had him so crazy. I said, he's going to make you rich and famous. He'll make the school famous. By then, President Arnold was looking at me and said, what, is she crazy or something? So finally he said, I'll tell you what, I just can't get over this. He said, I'll give him 2 weeks. Plus you pay for it 1 year up front. If he flunks in 2 weeks, I can't give you money back because Ford knew I was taking this kid on. I mean, I'd lose my job. I said, you're going to be more famous than ever. So he took it. And of course, then I grabbed the next plane and went home. When Sylvester got out of high school, right from the school, I took him to the airport and put him on the plane. He wanted to come home and sit for the summer. I said, no, you have to go there. I have to come talk about the gorgeous blonde girls with the pigtails, and I had all these beautiful blondes. They're all come from Switzerland. Of course, they're not. They're all ugly, really. Most of them are brunettes and homely and fat. So, anyway, he had the illusion, and every day he'd call up and say, I want to come home. I keep saying, Sylvester, don't give me another heart attack, would you? You stay one more day. And believe it or not, at the end of the year, he won a scholarship. And he made President Arnold rich because I sent him a pizza oven. And, you know, way in the mountains, most of these kids up in colleges are very rich, but there's no place to go. I mean, you can't, what do you do? You can't go to the end of the mountains. He had to stay way up in the mountains. The weekends go into town. So he started making pizza pies. I sent him all the stuff and made pizza pies and made President Arnold a partner, and they made more money than he made as a president.
Do you feel that when you do an astrology reading for someone, is it psychic impression or is it just – I've tried to understand astrology. I'm not saying there isn't anything to it. There probably is. It's just that – I can't tell the difference between a Cancer and a Capricorn. I mean, I'm more of a numerology person.
Numerology? I know how numerology works.
I guess the thing is that all the signs, you know, I don't know the difference between the signs. I mean, you know.
I went to school for 17 years. I didn't know either. But I was an astrologer before Sylvester was born, and that's how I supported him. And how did I become an astrologer? Well, I was on the stage for years, so I fell in love with Sylvester's father, who was a shoemaker, who's new from Italy and America. So we used to have our tap shoes fixed all the time, and he was always repairing them, so I kind of went for him. And the Billy Rose, who owned the theater, was in and said, what are you, crazy? What are you going to do with him? So he said, I think you need an astrologer. Why don't you check out your stars? And I didn't know what that meant. I thought maybe he really meant a psychiatrist. So I didn't want to disappoint him, so I took the name. I said, I'll go see. So he happened to be the most famous astrologer in town, in the country at the time, Dane Rudyard. And he looked at this chart, and my chart, he says, it's never work. He gave me 10 reasons why it could work. And I said, well, just a minute, I'll make it. Those reasons aren't good enough, you know, like he was cheap, he'd be unromantic, he'd be very rough and brutal, he would be, make a slave out of you. And I had an answer, so I said, look, do you give classes? He says, sure. I said, well, I'll take classes. So I took classes for years from Dane Rudyard and went on and on and on. But I married him anyway. I said, all I want to do is marry him. I will change him. Of course, I'll change myself. But the fact is, I couldn't change him. And after a while, I divorced him. I didn't feel like changing myself. It wasn't worth it. But I continued going on to school for 17 years. That's how you learn. I mean, can't say that I just read a book.
But how much of it is just like pure psychic ability, like looking at a chart and saying, okay, I see something there?
No, I don't. It's like you take the same study and the same math as an astronomer would take.
Okay.
Use the same type of math. And everything is mathematically. I'm not a psychic. Once in a while you get a psychic hint when you're looking at a chart, you just think, gee, well, I don't know if it's psychic or not. I look at a chart and I say, gee, this doesn't look good. This relationship looks terrible, because I specialize in relationships, because that's what got me involved in astrology. So I became a whiz on relationships, what would work, but I didn't know how to present it to a person. Because Dane Rudyard just more or less told me to tell this fellow to drop dead. And I couldn't tell that to people, so I would tell them all, this will work if you want to pay the price. And this is the price you're going to pay. He's going to cheat on you, or he's going to be cheap, or he's gambling, and you'll never have any happiness. And I tell why. I have to give about 10 reasons. And they all thought the same as I did. Oh, I'll change him. Don't worry, once I get him hooked, he'll come around to my way, but they never do.
Now, I was reading your book, and another person that you profiled in the book was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And
I know him personally.
And you said that, I think you said something to the effect that you thought Arnold was copying Sly or something. And actually, it's funny, I actually started a Facebook page where I suggested that Arnold and Sly arm up for charity.
They're actually the best of friends. They were competitive at one time, but then eventually, now they're the best of friends.
Arnold a nice person?
Arnold?
Yes.
Is he a nice person?
Yes.
Well, he's a nice person as a friend. I wouldn't want to be married to him. I think he did a terrible thing to Maria, but that's the way he is. His answer is, that's the way I am. What are you going to do about it? And Sylvester used to raise, how can you do this, for Christ's sakes? He said, well, that's the way I am. But is he a nice person? Well, it depends on what you call nice. As a date, he wouldn't appeal to me as a date in the first place. And as a husband, he wouldn't appeal to me. But he'd appeal to probably plenty of women, being a movie star. They're marrying the movie star, not the man. He has no trouble getting women.
Right.
Some women, every woman's the same. They think when they fall in love, that basically they'll change the man. They're so wonderful that any man would practically die for them. But that's not the way it works. I would say he's basically a philanderer.
Yeah,
he's a Leo, so he loves the spotlight.
I mean, you also said that that there's a difference in like what time of the year that you were born. Like, I was born at 3:13 a.m.
No, it has to do with that. It's a you're a Gemini. The three types of Gemini. One that was born when the sun goes in the sign of Gemini, the first 10 days, you're a pure Gemini. After the middle of the month, you pick up your Gemini with a little bit of Libra in you, an air sign. And then if you're born at the end of the month, you're Gemini and Aquarius, so you have a different personality. That can, that is the way the world began. It's been that way for thousands of years. We set our clock the 21st of the month. We don't go the first month. So the first 10 days starts from the 21st to the 10th day. And then from the 10th day for the next 10 days, and then from the next 10 days to the next 10 days, we go 29 days. You're pure Gemini. I mean, that's a pure air sign. Now, you did your book already. What did you find for yourself?
Well, what I did was, I had a person look at my chart, and she goes, whoa, you're psychic, whoa, you're psychic, whoa, you're psychic. But, I'm also a kind of person who hates hearing bad stuff, So I'm wondering if, because apparently the son told me that, that she was telling me that stuff to make me feel better. But it's what I do is I do, when I read the book, I thought was kind of interesting is that you said that Leo is who Geminis go along with best.
Well, yeah, they go along with it, but Leo is ruled by the sun. So basically, the ruler Leo requires a lot of attention. A lot of attention. They're very egotistical. And you cannot bark at a Leo. I mean, if you want anything done, well, Arnish, what's the negatives of Leo? You have to act like, you're not appreciate this. You look so busy. Do you mind doing this for me? Even though they're not doing a damn thing, you have to present it that way. So, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to do you a favor. You can't bark at them. Now, you're a Gemini Cancer. No, you have your moon in Cancer. So, but you can bark at a Gemini. It's an air sign. Leo's a fire sign. You have to sort of kiss their behind to get what you want. Gemini is capable of doing it because they just kind of juggle everything around.
Do you have anything to add, Linda?
Linda, you said the Cancer.
I'm a Cancer, yes, June 29.
Yeah, well, it makes you a Cancer.
Why did they call it Cancer? I mean, after that disease. I mean, it's...
Well, because basically the signs, the 12 signs are named after the seasons. January, February, let's see. We start with March 21st. March 21st is Aries. Why? It's the first day of spring. Cancer is the first day of summer. I have to call it something.
No, I know, but Cancer, when we think of Cancer, you're thinking you're getting cancer.
What do you think of Scorpio? You're getting bitten?
No, I understand that, but
Johnny, the astrological sign came way, way ahead of the disease Cancer.
So that doesn't mean I have cancer. Yeah. It means you're a water sign, you're a cardinal sign, you're very touchy. Cancer the crab.
Oh, okay. Cancer's a type of crab. Okay.
It's a type of crab. It is the crab. And they're very touchy, and when you hurt their feelings and bruise, which they are very sensitive, they go into their shell and stay there and have to be sort of coaxed out of it. Whereas you are Gemini, you're an air sign, a dual personality, you can just talk your way out of it, or someone can talk you out of your behavior or your bad mood.
It's funny, I've also heard that Libras are like that. They have double personalities, too.
Who?
Libras.
What sign did you say? I didn't hear it.
Libra.
Libra, he's saying.
Libra?
Yes.
It's an air sign. No, it's a sign of the scales. Basically, they want everything to balance in their life. They call it the scales.
I see.
They want, all right, I'm a Sagittarius. That's half horse, half human with a bow and arrow, which means the bow and arrow represents the horse. Can you keep a horse in a stable I mean, they'll go crazy. Any Sagittarian, you cannot keep home because the most important thing in their life is freedom. So, and the arrow means they get to the point. They'll let you know they're not happy being confined or controlled.
How much do you charge when you do some discharge?
Well, you know, I'm not going to even discuss that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
You know better than that.
I'm sorry. Can you accept my apology?
I'm not promoting charts. I'm just talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you accept my apology?
Have you ever given a reading that you might have regretted or wish you could have taken it back?
No. I've given readings to people that were so poor and life was over, and they became world famous, and I predicted, like Mark Jacobs, the fashion designer. You've heard
yes.
of him.
Yes.
All right, remember once I was on a TV show, and I was in a hamburger store with my sister. I have a hamburger, and I saw this poor guy with a straw hat on. He's about 20 years old. He was ordered a hamburger, but he just didn't have the money to pay for it. So I just reached over and said, help yourself to have a hamburger. I'll pay for it. It's on me. So he couldn't get over it. So he took it, and his friend took it. And then basically, I said, I'm an astrologer, and I said, I'm doing a TV show, and I'm doing an exercise video. He said, well, someday, he's a Taurus. I never talked to him after that. So I decided to make him feel good after giving him his hamburgers. I told him he's going to be a famous designer, and he couldn't believe it. So he said, since he doesn't have any money, could he design a sweater for me? And my sister said, you know, my sister's not too nice. She said, why are you wasting your time with him for him? And I said, well, no, but I said, no, you can't design a sweater because basically, hell, if you couldn't afford a hamburger, could you afford to knit me a sweater? Couldn't afford it. So I said, don't worry. Someday, within the next few years, you're going to be the most famous designer in the world. I know he'll never forget that. Maybe this is the first time he's going to hear it from me. But he has to know that I did the predictions. He had a straw hat. It was at a on his head with two beer cans tied to him. Those were the days you wore it like that. And once he became Geraldo, too. I met Geraldo when he was playing tennis in Boston. And I did his chart and told him he'd be famous. And as a TV, he didn't believe it, but he is. I did Montel Williams. I've done a lot of people before they became famous. Once they become famous, they sort of stick their nose up at you.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like you were saying that I think you told me I had cancer because you were sensitive. Like earlier, you know, I felt bad about that, about the question. I hope you'll accept my apology about it.
Right.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I tend to get obsessive when I say something and I don't want to say anything bad, you know. Like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Well, you don't look for the bad things. Sometimes they just jump up. You always look for hope and everything. Bad things are going to happen regardless, but something
that's
good
true.
In life. Certain people, you know, honestly, I mean, I don't look for health unless they're telling me they're sick or they're worried about their health. And they want me to focus on that point. If they say, focus on my job, I'll focus on the job. If they have ridiculous expectations, I'm going to tell them it doesn't look good, but anything's possible. But you must focus on the positive. I mean, no one calls you to have you make up a lot of crap about them.
I know.
You have to give people hope. Heavens.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going
to
say, Linda?
Difficult to deliver bad news, or do you mainly focus on the positive that's yet to come?
I focus on the positive. The negative news, basically, I have no trouble telling them that I can see a divorce in the future very soon, something like that. I don't call it bad news. The other day I went to the beauty salon, and this person yelled at me, well, I'm a certain sign. And I said, well, no kidding. Well, I can see a divorce for you within the year, period, because she gave me the day and the hour. And she said, well, how did you know that? I'm in the middle of a divorce already. So after that, she wants to know, well, will I get married again? I said, now, I want to tell you something. Then the other hairdresser was saying, what can you tell me about me? I said, I see about five husbands for you. She was already married. She said, how could you say that? Been married for 20 years to the same man, first and only man I ever slept with. I said, I don't care whether you say it or not. By the time the hour is over, found out she's having more romances on the side behind, going out of town behind her husband's back. I said, see, the only difference, you may not marry them, but basically you're miserable with your husband, and so you're looking for all these flings you have. She said, I know that, but I didn't know you knew that. No, you were answering. So when I say I see five marriages, that was sort of corny, because no one's going to marry five times, but I saw all these five different romances, you know, where you go steady with this one for a few months, then you pick this one for 6 months, and that one for a year, and first thing you know, you're collecting your Social Security, and you sort of give up. And she agreed with me. She didn't want to, because she'd spent, every time I go in there, she acted like Mrs., she was so proper, she was married to this doctor, and it was the love of her life, and she was a virgin, and blah, 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 blah. All this crap. So suddenly, after the other one, I told her about what was happening to her, that she's getting divorced. Then she really says her husband's a goddamn bore, never takes her any place. That's why she takes jobs and goes to conventions out of town, hairdressing conventions, so she can meet something else to flatter her once in a while, make her feel good. Now, figure that out. So that... Mm-hmm. That's good news or bad news, but that's about as far as I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You said that many of the soon-to-become famous people, you know, they sort of turn their nose up. Do you have a happy ending where someone actually did circle back in a year or two and say, you know, Ms. Stallone, I do remember you, and I do remember your reading, and they circle back and there's something good to report?
Some do, but famous people like senators that I've done when there were nobody, like I was asked to do the two senators, I don't care if they like it or not, Barbara Boxer and Diane Feinstein, who were basically
yes.
nobodies in California. I'm talking California, so if they listen, I don't care. So I was asked to go to Sacramento, and there were two nobodies that wanted to be politicians. So I did the horoscopes. Price actually came out. I said to the people that paid me, I said, I hate to tell you this, but they invited me to Sacramento for dinner and all. And this Barbara Boxer and Feinstein, they were there pitching what wonderful politicians they'd make, how good they'd be, blah, blah. No one ever heard, but they had money behind them because their husbands had money. They had nothing going in their heads. So after I did it and I was paid for it, I said, I hate to tell you, but both of you are going to win. Well, they didn't like that because they didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they both won and still are there. And after that, no, did they ever talk to me again? No, because they didn't want people to think that they had sought an astrologer.
Like Nancy Reagan, like that with Nancy Reagan, yeah.
Nancy Reagan, well,
yes,
I didn't Nancy Reagan.
No, I know you didn't do Nancy Reagan, but what I'm saying is like Nancy Reagan consulted an astrologer.
Oh, well, that's true.
And she was very vocal about it. You know, she was the first lady, and she was one of the few that actually not only endorsed it, but talked about it openly and publicly.
Squealed on her, and you shouldn't do that. Let her talk about it. For instance, I remember when I went to Sylvester's house after he was famous and everyone wanted to talk to him, and Barbara Walters was at his house giving an interview, and she gave me her birth sign. So she wanted to know, I said, Sylvester, you guys, her husband's going to divorce her soon. He said, oh, don't you dare go tell her that. Christ sakes, she's interviewing me for a magazine. I said, well, it's true. Well, didn't Lee Gerber, didn't they divorce the following year?
Yeah.
The kind of position I'm in most of the time.
Wow.
Did I predict Obama's will get a divorce?
Did you say that?
Yeah.
That Barack Obama is going to divorce?
He's a Leo. They have to have their attention.
they're getting a divorce?
After the election, after the things are over, you call me next year and tell me if I'm right or wrong.
After the midterm election.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Michelle Obama is not giving him enough attention?
No, but he's not giving her enough attention.
Oh, well.
And so in a year, they will be divorced?
Within a year.
Oh,
wow.
So he's the Leo. Is that what you're saying?
What do you care? It's their choice, not yours.
No, I know. I'm just taking into account that we're going to see if this happens. This is interesting. A president getting a divorce.
Well, let me tell you, when Arnold wanted to run for governor, he had as much chance of being the governor as I do. And I had to go on TV three nights before and say, and admit, is he going to make it or not? And I said, yes, unfortunately, he's going to be the governor. And he was. And also for the Academy Awards, let's see, who do you think's going to win the Oscars? What do you think's going to get the most promise?
Are you asking for this year?
Yeah.
I don't know who has the, I don't know the nominees. Do you know, Linda?
I never go to movies. I haven't got time. But I say 12 Years a Slave in Nebraska and come in number one and two. That's me, and I haven't seen either one of them.
Wow.
Well, call me back the second. Tell me how far off I am.
Okay. Well, it was nice to have you on. I'm sorry that these interviews can only be 30 minutes. I'm not a premium member yet, but...
All right.
But I hope
Mr. Lone, would you like to give the audience your contact information and give them like what sorts of readings you do, the different types?
They can go to my website.
Okay.
I do everything under the sun. www.jacquelinestallone.com. And basically, on my website, it'll give you a whole story of my life and what I do and what I didn't do, and who I've done and who I haven't done. You know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed.
And do you still enjoy giving readings?
Not really, because basically, you know, since I'm in Hollywood, all the Hollywood stars, they want it, and I really don't like many of them. And so what I do is I ask them for such an outrageous price that they'll tell me to go to hell. But they.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, well, that'll fix them, you know. They'll say, well, the murderer.
$500?
Yeah.
Well, like, you charge $500. I'm just saying that, yeah.
No, like $10,000 or $25,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, just to shut them up. Well, I mean, just to shut them up, make them go away.
That's like telling you you're not going to do it because they're going to say, what are you, crazy or something? But, you know, they say yes. Then I'm stuck. A politician, yes, that's what you'll do it. They'll pay it. But the movie stars want everything for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was really nice to have you on. I mean, I'd have you on every week if I could. You really are one of the most fascinating ladies.
Thank you.
All right,
and I'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.